morning. Bibles this morning to St. John, the fourth chapter this morning, Gospel of St. John this morning, St. John chapter 4. We're We're not going to read all of this morning, but we are going to read a good portion of it. I don't mean to be unkind, but ever who the little girl is in the aisle, her parent needs to get her out of the aisle, or she'll be they'll be watching her more than be listening to me. And I don't need to be unkind, and I know you got your hands full there. Some of the ladies there can help her, if you would, please, and help her there with that little girl. All right, while we're looking here in St. John chapter 4, thank you, Sister Beverly, thank you. St. John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading this morning in the fourth chapter and begin reading in the third verse. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the chapter. I'm just going to hit some of the points that are there in the chapter. And the Bible said, "He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband. And come hither. Let's drop down to verse 29. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Thank you. You may be seated. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that has been recorded for our learning and our reading and our admonishment. And Father, as we come this morning to preach from this fourth chapter of John today, may the Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance, Lord, the things that thou hast taught us. And Lord, may you also shine light upon things that maybe we forgot. And may you even show us some things that maybe we haven't seen before. Most of all today, we pray as, Lord, that we stand to preach, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We pray that, God, that each one would get what they need out of this service today. And, Father, we ask the Spirit of God to so come into this place that Lord, that the devil and the evil spirits that would hinder and try different ways, Lord, to hinder the service, Lord, that they'd have to back off. And the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would control this service today, I pray. Bless everyone that's come out, made an effort, Lord, to come this morning to get something from God. Lord, please help them today to get something from God today. And Lord, we pray for the lost that are here. We prayed for them all week, and we prayed for the lost to hear the gospel today. And Lord, to hear it not out of this preacher's mouth, but hear it from the Holy Ghost in their heart. And Lord, that today they'd come and say, today's the day of salvation for me. I'm going to get saved today. And God, may you grant it. Lord, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you today, Father, for saving my soul. I thank you, Lord, for sealing me and keeping me clean. I thank you, Lord, for keeping me from falling. And, Lord, I know that all the glory, all the praise, Lord, when we get to heaven, is going to go to you. And, Father, because you've done it all, now bless today this service, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I'm preaching this morning upon this text today, the woman who met the man of her dreams. And I know that several of you women think I'm preaching about you today, but I'm not. But I'm preaching this morning about this woman here in St. John 4, the woman who met the man of her dreams. When we look today in the Word of God, we see here a woman who, according to the information that is given us in the entirety of this chapter, that she has been looking for a long time for Mr. Right. We know that because the Bible tells us here that this woman has had five husbands and working on number six. And so far, she has not found anyone that loves her enough. She has not found anyone that has not left her alone. And she has not found anyone yet that has fulfilled the longings down in her heart. And she's like the lady that I read about. It said that an old maid was reading the obituary column of a local paper. And it told about a widow woman that was burying, or that her third husband had died and was going to be cremated. And she read that and laid the paper down, this old widow woman, and shook her head. And she said, some of us can't even get one, and others have got husbands to burn. I will tell you this morning that this lady was like that. She was looking for Mr. Wright. Now, you may have a good husband this morning, and I hope you do, and I hope you find a good husband this morning. I come in, and I like it when I come in, and everything seems to be pointing in the direction that God's leading me, and I feel like that's confirmation and assurance to me that I'm going in the right direction. But I came in, and someone was telling me about someone in the church that had found a boyfriend, and they hoped it was the right one, and all of that, and hoped it was a good man. And I thought, well, there's a lady that is looking for Mr. Wright. Amen. Then I was kidding Sister Mary about her husband Mike. He was talking about on the radio program this morning about a woman in his life some time ago. And I asked her, I said, did you know about that woman? And of course, it was when he was about 13 or 14 or 15 years old. But I was kind of aggravating him about that. But here was a woman that the Bible said that she had had five husbands and was now living with a man that was not her husband. But let me assure you today from this story that she is about to meet someone. She is about to meet a man named Jesus. And I want to tell you, when she meets this man, the way she's going to meet this man, that she will meet someone that's love will be everlasting. Amen. The Bible said in Jeremiah that whenever you meet this God of the Bible, whenever you meet this Christ of Calvary, I tell you, when you meet Him as a repentant sinner, when you meet Him as a believing sinner, and you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and become one of His, thank God. You ought to say this morning, if you're saved, I'm one of His, thank God. And if you're not saved, you ought to say today, I want to become one of His. But I want to tell you, if you become one of His, that you've met someone that will love you forever. Jeremiah said it this way. He said, He hath loved me with an everlasting love. Jesus said in John 13 of His disciples, Jesus said, having loved His own, He loved them until the end. I'm glad this woman, though that she's been used and abused, and all of that. I'm glad that today she's going to meet someone that'll love her with an everlasting love. She's had 5 to walk out the door, and probably number 6 will also. But today she's going to meet someone. When she meets him in the way, she's going to meet him that will never leave her and will never forsake her. I'm glad that if we're saved, we have that promise of the Word of God that Jesus said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then today when she meets this Jesus that she's about to meet, she's going to meet someone that's going to fulfill all the longings down inside of her that number 1 didn't fulfill, number 2 didn't fulfill, number 3 couldn't fulfill, number 4 couldn't fulfill, number 5 didn't, and number 6 won't either. But I'm glad this 7th one, I'm glad he's going to fulfill all of the longings down inside of her for a love like only God can give. Amen. And so we look here this morning, and I want us to see some things about this meeting of this woman here today that met Mr. Wright. And if you're here today and not saved, you need to meet him today. You need to be saved today. I'll tell you, he's the best person you'll ever meet. You'll never meet nobody like Jesus. Let me brag on him a little while this morning. I want you to know you'll not be disappointed in this Savior, thank God. I want you to know that you'll never say, he left me, he mistreated me, he abused me. I'm glad that this one I'm speaking about this morning is the only perfect man. You ladies that are looking for a perfect man, you're not going to find one. I want you to know, my friend, that there is no perfect marriage. You say, why? Because there's no perfect men and there's no perfect women. So how could you have a perfect marriage? But I want you to know that there is a marriage made in heaven. Thank God that can be perfect. Amen. Because there's a perfect man up there that's able to take an imperfect person like me and one day to make them perfect like him. And then let me go to heaven someday and we're going to have a perfect marriage that's going to last forever and ever. Never, thank God. Does anybody know what I'm preaching about this morning? I'm talking about the lady that met the man of her dreams. I want us to look here a minute. And I want to look here how we're told here about the arrangement of this meeting. We're told here that the Bible said in verse 3 that he, meaning Jesus, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Verse 4 said, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now please notice this morning that it was not the woman that initiated this meeting. And that's the point I'm trying to make here, is that this woman did not initiate this meeting. This woman upon this day, as far as I know, did not know that this Jesus even existed. She did not know that day when she got up and went through her day. She did not know about the 6th hour as she got her water pot and started to the well. She did not know that there would be a man waiting there to meet her at the well. But there was. Amen. And so this meeting was initiated by Jesus. And on this day she would meet someone that had been watching her. On this day she would meet someone that wanted to help her. On this day she would meet someone that had been willing to wait for her. Now you think about that this morning. Boy, I tell you, there's a line in that chapter that moved me. When I studied it this time for this message, it never had moved me like it did this time. But it was that line that said, he sat on the well. He sat on the well. You say, what are you saying? He's sitting there waiting for this woman. I mean, God is waiting for this sinner woman to come to the place where he is. Aren't you glad this morning? I'm trying not to preach evangelistic, but it's hard. I'm trying not to preach like I'm in a camp meeting, but it's hard. I know I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to preach pastor's message, whatever that is. But all I know is here was God waiting on this woman to come to the well. Glory to God. And the Bible said I believe he watched her. Because it said, he said on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. You know what I think? I think Jesus had been there days before. And he had watched people as they go by. But there was a woman there that had caught his eye that morning. Whatever morning that was, whatever evening that was, there was a lady that come there, a woman that come there, and by him looking at her countenance and knowing the hearts of all men, he knew that here was a woman that was longing for something. Here was a woman that was looking for something. Here was a woman that had been discouraged and disgusted with life, and she had tried all different kinds of men and was discouraged with men. But I want you to know that on this day that he had been watching her. Can I tell you this morning, friend of mine, that he watches you. Can I tell you that he looks down out of the glory world. I want you to understand he watched you this week and last week. He watched your tears fall to the floor. He watched you as you sat brokenhearted in your living room. He watched you as you longed for someone to help you, someone to be there for you. I want you to know that's the kind of God I'm preaching about this morning. I tell you, I know him. I hope you know him this morning. Some of you that's supposed to know him act like you don't know him. You ought to get to know him. Amen. I want you to know this morning that he's been watching this woman. And you can be assured this morning that if you're longing for him, if you're lost this morning, if you're seeking him in any way at all, I want you to know that he's watching you and been watching you up until this moment. He's watching her. He wants to help her. The Bible said in verse 6, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. Jesus is wearied, he's tired, he's been out all day. But he wants to help somebody more than he wants to rest. He's weary, he'd rather go on home or wherever he's at and lay down a little while. But he wants to help somebody today that needs help. I want you to know this morning, I don't know what religions told you about Jesus. I don't know what some preachers have told you about Jesus. I don't know what you've heard on television about Jesus. But he's not your enemy. He's your friend. He's not there to hurt you. He's there to help you, and he's wanting to help this lady with the rest of her life. He's wanting to help her with whatever's left of her life. And I want you to understand this morning that the God of the Bible, he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you to take the rest of your life and turn it around and make a new day in your life with Jesus. Amen. He makes a difference. He was watching her. He wanted to help her. And then the Bible says in verse 6, he sat thus on the well. He's waiting for her. Aren't you glad God waits? Aren't you glad that in this Bible that it says that God is long-suffering? I'll tell you what, if he wasn't a long-suffering God, the likes of us would have been burning in the blazes of hell a long time ago. But I'm glad he's long-suffering when I cussed and used his name. I'm glad he was long-suffering when I rebelled and run from him. I'm glad he was long-suffering when I drove by his house week after week and did not even think about turning in. I'm glad he was long-suffering when I left that Bible closed day after day after day. I'm glad he was long-suffering when he didn't hear my voice praying to him for weeks and months on end. I'm glad he's a long-suffering God. Glad he's slow to anger. Let me just insert right there. to kind of balance this thing out a little bit. He's slow to anger, but that don't mean he can't get angry. The Bible said he's angry with the wicked every day. Every day. But he wants to help her. And so we see this meeting was initiated by the Lord. She didn't know she was going to meet this Jesus that day. What about on the day you got saved? Becky Poindexter, did you have any idea on that Thursday night that two men was coming out there to tell you about Jesus? Did you understand that knock that night on your door, that you was going to hear about somebody like you never heard about before, that was going to turn your world upside down, that was going to take what was wrong and make it right? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about someone this morning that arranged the meeting. Amen. I want you to think about that day, that hour, that moment you got saved. It wasn't your planning. It wasn't your doing. It wasn't even your idea. I want you to know the God of the Bible had been moving days and weeks and months before and preparing you to receive the good news of heaven, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God that planned it all. Amen. We're told about the arrangement of this meeting.
Amen.
And then we're told, I don't have time to go into every detail, but we're told about the conversation when they met. Amen. When her and Jesus met, they had a conversation. I want you to understand that Jesus spoke the first word. It was not her that passed by, that Jew sitting there on the well and said, "Sir, how are you doing? Would you like to have a drink?" It was not her that came by and spoke the first word. It was not her that was interested in him. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad this morning that he spoke the first word. It was not me interested in him. I'd walk on by him. I'd never take time to talk to him. I'm glad one day he came by where I was and he spoke the first word. He initiated the conversation down in my heart. Amen. The Bible says that as she went by, Jesus, as she went by, he said that just a few words. Give me the drink. Give me the drink. That's all he said. Wasn't a lot. He didn't start in telling her about the Antichrist. He did not start in telling her about the books of Moses and the 400 silent years of the Bible. He did not start in saying, "Lady, do you understand dispensationalism?" He did not start in saying, "Lady, let me talk to you about eschatology." He did not start in saying, "Lady, let me talk to you about some theology." But she's a sinner. He's a Savior. And he says, "Lady," he said, "give me a drink," is all he said. You say, "What did they talk about, preacher?" They talked about race. The Bible said, he said, "Give me a drink of water." And the woman of Samaria said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a Samaritan?" They talked about race. Amen. If that had been some Baptist, and they saw that woman sitting on a well, they'd say, "I don't witness to that race." Hello, is anybody with me today? The Bible said the first question that come up was race. And she said, "Sir," she said, "the Samaritans have no dealing with the Jews.
But you see, when it comes to salvation, race is not an issue other than the fact that it came from the Jews. I want you to understand that when it comes to salvation, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. I want you to know that He died for all men, and not some white or Caucasian Americans, but He died for some black Africans. He died for some brown-skinned Filipinos. And when it comes to salvation, He died for all. Lord Jesus talked about race. They talked about relationships. Jesus said, how many husbands you had? Actually, what He said was, go get your husband. They began to talk about relationships. And then they talked about religion. She said, sir, she said, we worship a certain place. She said, our father Jacob said he gave us the well. And she began to talk about her religion. Did you know three of the main topics that people want to talk about when they're lost and don't know God? They want to talk about race. They want to talk about relationships. They want to talk about religion. If you've ever done much personal work, you'll find that to be true. But look here. I want you to notice He talked about water. That's how He initiated the conversation. He knew that she was coming to draw water. Am I right? He was a wise soul winner. He was the master soul winner. Here's a woman with a water bucket, a vessel, headed toward a well. And Jesus said, give me some water. Now we can learn something right there. We can learn to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. We can learn how to get our way into the conversation. We can learn and look for ways for a door to be opened. Jesus said, give me some water. He's sitting on the well. He's in the way. She's got to get to that well. He's sitting on it. He's standing right in the way. You understand, sometimes Jesus just gets right in the way. When you're a lost sinner, He just gets right in the way. You got to deal with Him. You can't go through Him. You can't go around Him. You can't go over Him. You just got to deal with Him. So there He is, Brother Eddie, and He's sitting on the well. He's sitting there and He's blocking her from getting water, and yet He asked of her water, and He said, give me water to drink. She said, sir, the well's deep. You don't even have anything to draw with. But you see, when you're the well, you don't need nothing to draw with. You see, He's sitting on the well, but He is the well. He's the source of all living water. He doesn't need anything to draw with. All He needs is something to put it in. Says, lady, I got water. What I need is a vessel. Amen. Aren't you glad that day that you heard the Lord say, oh, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the water. Buy without money, buy without price. I'm glad there's a drink of water from another country to anybody that wants it this morning. And there's no water like it. Amen. If you could bottle it up, it wouldn't be a dollar a bottle. It'd be $1,000,000,000,000,000 a bottle, because there's no water like this. It's purer than any water. It's colder than any spring water. It came from the deepest well that there ever has been. Talking about water. Then he says, who are you married to? She said, sir, I'd like to have some of that water. I'm thirsty. I'd like to have a drink of water. And he says a very odd thing. He says, go call your husband. Her husband don't want water. She wants water. Go get your husband. She said, sir, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And now you folks that don't believe that God thinks the second or the third marriage counts, you better read that. Because He counted all of them. Look up here at me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. I wasn't even there that day. But He said, thou hast had five husbands. He said, the one thou hast now is not your own. You say, why'd He say that for? Because you see, before anybody gets a drink of water, they have got to be made thirsty. You see, she's thirsty for water, but what's down in the well? But before He can give her this other water, she's got to get thirsty for the water He's talking about. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to bring somebody some way or another to see that they are a sinner. Nobody wants to get saved until they know they are a sinner. Nobody wants a pardon until they've been convicted. Nobody wants out of hell until they realize they're in hell. Nobody wants a Savior until they realize they're a sinner. And the Bible says that He says, woman, go call thy husband. Now, y'all can see her face. When He said, you've well spoken, you don't have one, you got five. I can hear her gasp. I can see her Adam's apple as she swallows hard. I can see her take a step backward and she's saying, what is this man doing? What is he saying? But Jesus was telling her, lady, you have a sin problem. Lady, what you need is you need a Savior. You see, God deals with us from the Word of God about sin. And without the law, there is no knowledge of sin. You see, the drunkard has to be dealt with.
That's right.
About his sin.
That's right.
You see, the harlot, the adulterer has got to be dealt with about their sin.
That's right.
The liar has got to be dealt with about his sin.
Amen.
The idol worshiper has got to be dealt with about his sin. You see, God has made it easy for us. He's put 10 things in what we call the 10 commandments. And God is the only one that condenses things down. But we can take those 10 things and we can go to any honest sinner and we can take them 10 things and we can prove them a sinner.
Amen.
You see, this lady knew that Moses brought some words down from the mountain that God gave. And one of them said, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Amen.
It's not her adultery that's sending her to hell. It's her unbelief.
Right.
But you see, before she's ever, the way humans are, they don't think that way. We think about a can of beer. We think about dope. We think about adultery. We think about something we can see. Those are only all outward workings of an inward heart that's wrong and not right with God. You see, the reason sinners sin is because they're sinners. You see, the reason that sinner man cusses is because that's what sinners do. You see, the reason that drunkard drinks is because that's what sinners do. And God is trying to get us to see, if we're lost, that we are a sinner. And sinners cannot have a drink of this water until they're forgiven of their sins. And the Bible said, they talked about her husbands. If you're lost today, I wonder what Jesus is talking to you about. You know what I can guarantee? He's put His finger on your sin. Isn't it amazing how when you're lost and you go to church, that pastor gets up and begins to preach, and you look over at your mother-in-law, or you look over at your husband or your wife, and you look over with them, and if looks would could kill, they'd be dead. And you're thinking, you told him all about me. You told him what I was doing. You told him what I said. But you see, God don't need a preacher. God doesn't need a deacon. God doesn't need a long-tongued church member to tell him what people do, because God knows what everybody does. And when that preacher is open to God and not his little opinions and ideas and ideologies and thoughts, but he's open to what God wants to say that morning, God speaks through and God touches the heart. Amen. I heard preachers say different times. Well, I'll tell you this, I'm not preaching this to any of y'all. I'm preaching this to somebody out there. What good's that do? I'm preaching to y'all. I'm not preaching to somebody sitting over on Lexington Drive this morning. They can't hear me. I'm not preaching to somebody down in the country this morning. They can't hear me. I'm preaching to you that are sitting here with two ears that God give you, a mind that God give you, eyes that God give you. I'm preaching this morning, and God is trying to speak to you and let you know if you're lost that you need to be saved. Talked about water. She didn't like that subject. Then they started talking about relationships and who she is married to, and she really didn't like that subject. And so she said, "He thinks I down in her heart, I can almost feel her saying, I'm not a bad person. I'm not really that bad. I do worship God. I do have a religion. We have our own religion, sir. You're not going to make a Baptist out of me, sir. We have our own religion. Why, sir, I worship in the mountain. I worship in Jesus. You see, every balloon that goes up, he busts it. Everything the sinner sends up, he busted. Now listen, he said, this is what he said. John 4, verse 22. Look at verse 21. Well, let's look at verse 19. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." Now listen what he told her. "Ye worship, ye know not what." He said, "Lady, you're talking about worshiping and you don't even know God." He said, "Lady, you're talking about worshiping and where you do it at, and you don't even know about the God you're worshiping." Can I tell you, I've talked to sinners. They say, "Preacher, I've got my own religion. I've got my own statues and my own idols, my own deeds." Amen. We have our own prophet, sir. We have our own Bible. We have our own preachers. We have our own religion. Why don't you take your religion and get rid of it and get salvation? I'll tell you, religion sends more people to hell than anything I know of. Jesus didn't come to promote a religion. He come to save sinners. He said, "You worship, you don't know what." Listen to me this morning. There's people doing things that they call worship. They don't even know God. There's people that have all kinds of rituals they go through. all kinds of actions they do. But your actions don't prove you know God. I can get you in a car and drive you down to Nashville to a rock concert, and there's people down there that know nothing about God that are doing the same thing a lot of people are doing in places where the Word of God is being preached. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying actions doesn't mean you know God. It's not the way you move, sir. It's not what you do, sir. It's not where you're at, sir. But it's in Jesus. It's where it is. He said, you worship you know not what. Man, he's telling me I don't even know God. He didn't beat around the bush, did he? She didn't know God as Savior. You may know God in some ways, but what's going to count is, do you know God as Savior? Can you say Jesus Christ is my Savior? Can you say Jesus Christ is my salvation? Can you say this morning that Jesus Christ is the one that forgave me of my sins and saved me and forgiven me? Can you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? That Jesus is the only one that can save? That it's no other religion, no other man, but only Jesus? We're told about the conversation they had. It's interesting. She said, he said, you worship you know not what, for salvation's of the Jews. But he says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, underline that, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He says, lady, you're talking about worshiping God, and you don't even know me. And he's saying, lady, you can't worship God without me. Because you see, my name is the way, the truth, and the light. And he said, lady, God seeks people to worship Him in spirit and truth. And he said, I am the truth. And he said, if you're trying to worship God without Jesus down in your heart, it's all in vain. If you're trying to worship God unsaved, it's all in vain. I want you to know that God wants to be worshiped. God desires to be worshiped. God wants to be praised. God wants to be loved. God wants to be bragged on. Let me stop right there. Let me say, testimony time is to brag on God. It's not to lift up the devil. It's not to brag on the devil and tell how bad he's made us feel. It's not to brag on the devil and tell how he's destroying us and beating us down. But a testimony is to brag on God. It's not to talk about your neighbor. Testimony time is not a time to get a dart into somebody across on the other side. Testimony time is not a time to stand up and slip in a little word as to why you don't like the church or why you don't like the preacher. I want you to know that testimony time is a time to brag on Jesus. And when the preacher says, does anybody have a testimony for Jesus? I don't mean for somebody to take 30 minutes and brag on Brother Rick how wonderful he is, or to take another 30 and tell how bad he is. But I mean to brag on Jesus. He said, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when He comes, He's going to tell us everything. Somebody this morning in this church, I don't know who it was, the Lord just let me hear Him say it. And He said something about a man, said, looking for a man that's got all the answers. Can I tell you that on this day, at a well outside of the city, Jacob's well, there's a man sitting on the well. He's Mr.
Right.
He's the man of her dreams.
He's
got all the answers. Did you notice everything she said? He had an answer. She said, "We worship." He said, "You don't know what worship is." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "You've got five." He said, "Sir, you got nothing to draw with." He said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me a water." You may live here, you may leave here lost today. But every excuse you throw up, he's going to have an answer looking at you right in the face as to why you shouldn't get saved. You don't stump him, sir. You don't raise a hand and ask him a question that he has to swallow hard and take 5 minutes to answer. You don't ask him a question that he says, "I got to go to my study and look in my books and call around my friends." He knows all the answers. Isn't it wonderful to know a God like that? It has all the answers. Well, it's 12:10. And we're standing by a well still. But I want you to know this morning that not only do we understand the arrangements of this meeting were made by Him, not only did God see fit to record it in the Word of God that we can know the very conversation they had. By the way, all of your conversations with God are recorded. Something to think about, isn't it? People say, "What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to get tired of singing." Oh, there's lots of things to do. We're going to listen to each other tell how they found Him. We can go over and look at the records. Amen. We can take each other over there and say, "I want to show you here my record. I want to show you my sins here. I want to show you all that ever I did. I want to show you." When you take me over there, I take you and say, we turn there and look. Say, "Hey, there's nothing there." And we're going to talk about that for the next 1,000 years. About the blood that washed it away. We're going to tell about the great God that we serve and how He blessed us and helped us through the trials of life. And how that He gave us strength when we was weak. How He gave us wisdom when we was stupid. How that He guided us when we was going the wrong way. I tell you, you may have something to worry about this morning, but Mark wondered what we're going to do in heaven. Awfulest! Not anything to worry about. Now look here. Not only are we told about the conversation they had, but we're told about the outcome of the meeting. I'm glad He didn't leave us standing and we're wondering how it went. We're wondering what come out of it. But it says in verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?'" You listen to me this morning. I can tell you this. You cannot meet Jesus without there being an outcome. There's no such thing as meeting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Creator of all things, the God of the very God, the Lily of the Valley, the Bride and the Morning Star, the Rose of Sharon. You cannot meet Him without there being an outcome to it. Pilate's wife couldn't sleep. And she made her way to her husband. And she said, "I've dreamed about this man." And she said, "He's just. Have nothing to do with this just man. Can I tell you, she gave her husband a virtual impossibility. You cannot have anything, just not have anything to do with Jesus. Because you're either going to accept Him or you're going to reject Him. Your meeting is either going to be a positive outcome or a negative outcome. But I'm glad this morning that this woman's outcome was positive. You say, what happened? Well, after she met Jesus, and they talked for a little while, and the more they talked, the more she's beginning to think, I know by her words, she's beginning to think, could this be the man? Sir, they're not talking about Messiah. But she said, sir, we know that Messiah is coming. I think down in her heart she's starting to say, is this Him? Could this be Him? And you're sitting back there this morning lost without God. Something's going on down in your soul. Something's going on and you're saying, could this be Him? I want you to know it's Him! If your heart's up in your throat, if you can hear your pounding and you don't even have stethoscopes on, if this morning, if this morning you're starting to squirm and squinch a little bit, and you feel kind of uncomfortable, I want to make you feel better. If you're a lost sinner, you're feeling just like you ought to feel. They talked for a little while. And Jesus said, she said, we know the Messiah's coming. And when He has come, He'll tell us all things. And Jesus looked at her right in her eyes. And He said, I that speak am Him. You're looking at Him. You're listening to Him. And the Bible said in verse 28, then the woman left her water pot. You say, what happened? When they met, what happened to the outcome of this meeting? She left something. She come to get water. She come with one definite purpose in mind. But after a 30-minute or so conversation with Jesus, she forgot why she came. She realized that she didn't really know why she came. She thought she came to get water. But the Bible said she left it. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying quite probably on the morning or night you got saved, if you were saved in a church meeting, you didn't go there to get saved. You went there to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You went there so your mama would be happy, your daddy would be happy. You went there because you made a promise and you just didn't have it in you to lie and not show up. But what you didn't realize, what you went there for a reason, you didn't even know why you was there. The Bible said she left her water pot. I'm glad as a 20-some year old man that had drifted away from God, out of the church, away from God. I'm glad that morning at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church, there's somebody sitting on the altar waiting for me. And I'm glad we had a conversation. It reminded me of some things. And I'm glad on that morning, I left some things there. I left an old life. I left rebellion against God. I left running from the church and running from God. I left not wanting to know Jesus. I want you to know that when I met Him that day, I left different. I got back right with God. That's what some of you need to do this morning. You need to get back right with God. You don't need to get saved again. You done been saved once, and that's all it can be, brother, sister. But you need to get back right with God. If you're not saved, you need to leave some things this morning. You need to leave your sins under the blood. Amen. You need to leave your rebellion and fighting against God. You need to leave it at an altar of prayer. Don't close your Bible. I'm not done yet. She left some things. Somebody call KFC and tell them we're going to be late. She left some things. She left her water pot. Well, that's something important in that day. You've got to have water. It wasn't that plentiful. But she found something better than water. She found something better than a pot. She found the well. She found something better than a clay pot. She found the potter. She went down to the potter's house that day. And he was doing a work on the wheels. Lord, I'm tired. I preached a long time. Somebody else ought to shout for me. She left something. Can I tell you? She learned something. But verse 29 said she went into town. And she didn't get there and say, oh, I'll be back in a minute. I forgot my water pot. Somebody may steal it before I get back. But she went into town. And she'd learned something. For verse 29 said, she said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know what she's saying? I know what I'm worshiping. You know what she's saying? I know who the Christ is. She said, I'm not looking for somebody to come. He's here. She's not asking it like, is it the Christ or is it not? She's saying it like this. Is this the Christ? We found Him. I don't know much. I don't know the outcome of this election. I don't know a lot about politics. I don't know a lot about world events and all things like that. I don't know a lot about this economy and what's going to happen. But I do know who God is. And I do know who Jesus is. And I do know how to get saved. And I do know how to tell somebody else how to get saved. You say, what do you got to do, preacher? Well, you got to want to get saved like some of you are wanting to today. Like you got to want to today. You got to want to get saved. And you know who made you want to? He did. And then you gotta confess your sin. Who makes you to think about your sin? He does. You've had five husbands. He told the woman. He wasn't trying to make her feel bad. He's trying to make her feel better. You're going to feel bad for a while, but you're going to feel a whole lot better when he gets done. I mean, when he said that, she felt condemned and convicted, but he won't leave her that way. When he gets done, she's going to feel clean. And she's not going to feel like she has to come to the well at night anymore. She's not going to feel like she's an outcast and looked down on. But I tell you, I'd like to see her the next time that she came to the well. I believe she come at the same time everybody else did. I believe she come saying, I'm a Samaritan, but I'm good as anybody else. I've been saved by the God of the Bible. I'm glad. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your line is on the poverty level. Jesus will save you today, and you're as good as anybody else. You say, well, I'm never coming back. Well, before you leave, I want you to understand here, it doesn't matter what the title is before your name. Doctor, lawyer, mayor, policeman, congressman, a water boy, orderly, janitor, a street sweeper. It don't matter what your name is. And it don't matter how much you got in your bank account or your savings account or your CDs. When you walk through those doors, you're as good as anybody. You're as saved as anybody. You can have as much of God as anybody else can. Once again, let me tell Bethel Baptist Church that nobody, you may have more than others. You may smell better than others. You may look better than others. You may live in better homes than others. You may drive better cars than others. You may have more education than others. But when it comes to Jesus, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same level. And if you put a penny in the offering plate this morning, and that's all you got, and you put $10,000 in there, and you got money to spare, when it comes to Jesus, mister, it doesn't make any difference. He come to save the soul of lost humanity. Haven't I said the last two Sundays, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. She learned something. And then she let people know something. For in John 4 and verse 39, it says many of the Samaritans believed on him. Not because John the Baptist came out and preached to them. Not because Peter and the other disciples are in town getting chicken or fish. They're about like some of us. When they ought to be looking for lost souls, they're down at the food house. Getting food, they're worried about dinner. They're worried about supper like some of you are. My God. It's 25 after 12. I hadn't had a thing to eat since 8:30. If you pass out, we'll pack you out. We have some cookies up at the other building. If your sugar drops, we won't let you leave till you get something to eat. Whew. I'm here to tell you I've been to Kentucky Fried Chicken early, and they had plenty. And I've been late, and there was still a chicken to spare. I'm telling you, what I'm giving you now, it may not taste as good, but it'll do you a lot better. Amen. I mean, I'm giving you the smorgasbord today, and it's free. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me. Somebody said, help him quit, Lord. But she let people know something. You know, this lady met the man of her dreams. She could not keep it to herself. Could not. I'm talking about a man like none of you ladies have got. There's an empty seat beside Clara. Well, Tyler's or Eli's in it. And Clara and Brother Shorty have a good relationship, I think. Of course, I'm not a fly on the wall. But I remember one year we went to Camp Glory. And Clara went, but Shorty stayed behind. And all the way back, days before, Clara kept talking about, I can't wait to get back to Shorty. I can't wait to get back to my husband. I know he misses me. I know he wants to see me. I got sick of it, Eddie. I like Shorty. The time we got back, I was kind of not even liking him. But we drove 5 hours. And it was Shorty from Columbus to Cincinnati. And from Cincinnati to Louisville. And from Louisville to Bonneville. And from Bonneville to Glasgow. But when we pulled in the parking lot, someone said, Clara, there's your car. There's something stuck on the window. I know Clara's thinking a love letter. A dinner invitation. She gets out and goes to the car and she pulls it off and it says, Clara, find some way home. I'm going fishing. Glory to God! Glory to God! He's a good God! Now, you see what I mean? None of you have yet met the man of your dreams. He'll leave you stranded and go fishing. But I'm talking about one that once you come to know him, you'll never get there and him leave a note saying, I'm going somewhere else. Like we do. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll love you to the end. He'll love you when you're good. He'll love you when you're bad. He loves you and knows all about you and still loves you. He loves you enough to die for you. On the cross 2,000 years ago, a man came down, died on a cross. His name was Jesus. Can I tell you this morning, he was the man of all our dreams. And I'm glad this morning that I know Jesus. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. And I've never been disappointed in him. I'm glad that the same Jesus that met this woman at the well will meet you today at the altar. He met me one day. How many can raise their hand and say one day he was waiting for me at my well and he was sitting on my altar? My, look at the hands. Look at the hands. He's waiting for you today. There's nothing like being saved. Time is filled with swift transitions. Naught of earth can understand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold the God's unchanging hand. You need to be saved this morning. He's sitting on the well. He's waiting. He wants to give you a drink of water. He doesn't need nothing to dip with. He just needs a vessel to put it in. Who'll come this morning and say, Lord, I'm thirsty. Give me a drink of salvation. As we stand this morning, the piano player comes, the song leader comes today.